Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Cincinnati Bengals, NFL draft preview here, skill positions, plus overall team needs. And they've got some extra picks, extra third round selection here. They're right nestled into the mid part of every round, including round one with pick 18. And you look, other than quarterback, they've got some team needs. Running back, not so sneaky, even after bringing in Zach Moss. You say wide receiver, hey, T. Higgins, how long is he going to be there? And a wide receiver three question mark. They bring in Mike Gesicki. It seems like they try out pedigreed tight ends every year, and it hasn't right. worked for years at a time. So they've got a lot of interesting dynamics here at the skill positions, in addition to anything else they need. And we got Tim Torch here in the Ohio area here, following the Browns, following the Bengals here, and great to have him on. Talking Bengals.
Yeah, the four picks in the top 100 for the Bengals, and plenty to talk about here for sure.
First question I would have is, it feels like round one, they're legitimately in the crosshairs of where wide receiver four could be. This could be yes. a Brock Bowers spot. I've seen a lot of saying, well, Brock Bowers isn't going to go beyond 18 because the Bengals, you know, would have a really good reason to take him. And one thing I keep thinking about these teams when you say Brock Bowers and potential landing spots is he could be viewed as just a receiving weapon, where it could be a team that needs wide receiver, needs tight end, doesn't really matter. They need someone that can be a focal point of their passing game.
100%. It's such an interesting world the Bengals are in right now, because you look at the pass catchers they have with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, and you're like, you're good. That's a great start. But then you think about where is T. Higgins in their long-term plans? I mean, there's been rumors about possibly getting traded. What that happens, could that be a draft day trade and really shake things up and just add a little bit more to your plate as far as shows that you're doing, which would be like an AJ Brown type of trade when he went over to the Eagles? That'd be really interesting. Just giving the Bengals a little bit more draft capital, but I think they have to be looking pass catcher in some form, whether wide receiver or tight end, with that first pick at 18. And correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like we've seen a drop from Brock Bowers. Like, I remember at one point we were we were in the postseason for college and we were starting the draft process. We were just like, he's going somewhere top 10. Top 5, 10, somewhere in that neighborhood. He was a lock to be there, playmaker, stud. Everyone's going to want him. And then the conversation slowly shifted to all these other pieces, like talking about how great the quarterbacks are, the wide receivers, the offensive tackles, sprinkle in a defensive player here and there. And then before you know it, you're at pick 18. And it's just such a far drop from where we originally projected things. Could I still see him going in the top 10, especially with, you mentioned the Chargers? The Jets could be another landing spot, and I like possibly the Broncos or something like that. Sure, but the Bengals, like, if he falls this far, that would be a great landing spot. If they decide to dip their toe into another one of these rookie wide receivers, I just can't help but to think about, like, how that distribution looks like between T. Higgins and a rookie high-pedigreed wide receiver, because – of course, Joe Burrow, like, he would obviously win from that situation. But, and I do feel very strongly, of course, Ja'Marr Chase would get his. But, I mean, the other two, they're going to be fighting for scraps, for sure.
Yeah, the couple things I would say, you know, dynasty market-wise that, you know, one obvious, one not as obvious that I've kind of come around as themes for this team. The first one is, you know, Zach Moss, it was and is viewed as good news, you know, that he landed here, but you dig in more into that contract and it's very Alexander Mattison-esque, you know, from 12 months ago, where you know, he lasted 1 year of the 2 years. It was still low cost, and they still moved on from him. And he lost the job in season. So that is no guarantee of anything. And I would also, so Zach Moss, you know, the, I think the Vegas line originally came out at like 900 rushing yards, and Jordan was just like, oh, the under, like you pound that under so much, because I mean, you look at Zach Moss, a relative nomadic and disappointing, you know, late day two player in his career. And then you have Chase Brown mid day three, which, you know, again, how often do those players come all the way home to be a clarified starter, and predictably so? Like, this feels, especially with an extra round three pick for the Bengals, it really does feel like a running back in round three distinct possibility. So that's one of my bigger points. And Zach Moss is one of those, he's a lighter version of this, but you can move around the rookie board a little bit. He's worth like a second round pick. And what that means,
yeah,
is if you're at 110 in a super flex draft, maybe you move to seven. Maybe you don't take any chances. You know, you try to move up. Someone said they moved up from 5 to 3 with Zach Moss. Or again, the point is, in the first round, maybe you're moving up 2, 3, 4 spots at most. Maybe you move from the mid second to the late first, and the late first gets you somewhere else later on. So just think of him as a stepping stool type of player, but he's one of the riskier guys to look completely different after the NFL draft, especially if they take someone on round three.
No, I couldn't agree more. If they're looking at running back, I was just kind of glancing at the depth chart, and it's the names, you know, sitting behind Zach Moss. It's the Chase Brown, Travion Williams. It's just not too much in terms of the overall depth on that depth chart. And what do we always say? Like, look at the hints this team is dropping. They've added in so many other places, whether it's offensive line or in their secondary. You mentioned Mike Gesicki getting a shot there. They did add Zach Moss, but you have to also remember what they lost in Joe Mixon. And yeah, it's definitely a place for someone to step up. I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on Chase Brown. Like, I'm still a little bit not ready to dip my toe into those waters, but I feel like there are plenty of people who are just waiting for Zach Moss to fail and for Chase Brown to take off.
Oh, I think that's a distinct possibility. You saw him run really hard and have juice that Zach Moss can't touch last year. So that's a distinct possibility just within the two of them. And let's not assume a round three guy is just going to walk in and have the job in September. So it's likely something that's going to be more of a midseason, or if there's an injury, someone could get healthier and run with the job. So there's, it's more about that long-term lens. The other thing I would say dynasty trade-wise is, thinking of T. Higgins, like, he's really lost a lot of luster. And you kind of mentioned, if they draft Bowers or a round one wide receiver, how does it look like for this year? You know, what's the upside of T. Higgins? You figure Ja'Marr Chase is going to be insulated. And if T. Higgins drops down and it's more of a wide receiver 2-3 committee than we're used to, Higgins, you know, being that guy that you have between, you know, wide receiver 15 and 30 for lineup decisions, maybe that drifts down to, you know, 24 to 45. Like, it's not even an auto start for decent teams. And he still has some liquidity out there, you know, being traded for a first round pick plus potentially.
Yeah.
I saw him shifted for James Cook plus in the trade market. So you have, and my classic is always just, hey, if you're trying to upgrade at quarterback or get a quarterback or, you know, do something dynamic in another position, T. Higgins is useful for that. So I think there's a lot of blood in the water for T. Higgins with, well, he could be changing teams, and also his situation here could be getting worse. So it's been,
right,
it's been not a great time for T. Higgins after his initial breakout early in his career.
I'm still with you. Just, I will say, I'm really curious, like, if we see a draft day trade.
Yeah, and that's another one. I mean, they could get more capital. I mean, can you imagine if they end up trading T. Higgins at some point, and that fosters a trade up, maybe even in round one or somewhere,
yeah,
along the way, to get, you know, what if 18 gets Bowers and they make a T. Higgins trade later in the first round to double dip and get a wide receiver? I mean, all these things are in play. As with Brandon Ayuk, who will be watching T. Higgins during the NFL draft cycle. So thanks for Tim Torch coming on, sharing his time and talents with the Cincinnati Bengals, prepping us for the NFL draft, and also for some of the dynasty things we should be chewing on as we get closer to the big dynamic team change coming up this season.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The Rams up next here. What is on their target list as we go through the skill positions? They're not used to having a first round selection or high picks in general in the NFL draft. So good news here. They have their full allotment plus a bonus pick in the third round, which I think could be key to the skill positions. Let's rewind 12 months. Matthew Stafford was one. We didn't know how long he was going to play. We still don't, but also maybe a potential retirement in the works here, but successful season. And we seem in Dynasty to forget that, but I really think backup quarterback could be the spot here for the Rams. When you look at, they brought in Jimmy Garoppolo. He's had his own durability issues, but that's not a long-term, let's really groom a guy sort of plan. And I think at 19, they're probably going to have the look of at least one of Bo Nix and Michael Penix, if one of those should strike them. So I would not rule that out at the skill positions here of someone that can develop into the heir for Matthew Stafford. And frankly, that would be a quarterback that would be intriguing because they would have round one pedigree. However, probably falling in price due to being blocked for the foreseeable future, as long as Matthew Stafford is upright, healthy, and productive. The running back position. Kieran Williams, is he on the hot seat? I tend to think this is more looking for a running back two that can fill in, as we saw them kind of grasp at straws. They brought in Royce Freeman and others because Ronnie Rivers, who is back on a one-year deal, signed his tender, and Kieran Williams, they were both out for a stretch last season. So Kieran Williams, is he going to be a workhorse considering his sub-sized nature? He was a great fit. He was an elite producer. But I think as much as I love Ronnie Rivers, this is a spot for a running back potentially in the third round there. I saw a mock draft with Audric Estime there at 99 overall. I also think 83 overall, 52 overall feels a bit rich. That would be running back one off the board most likely. Wide receiver, not a huge need here as long as we get a bounce back from Cooper Kupp. It could be a wide receiver three type, but they have DeMarcus Robinson, who they brought back, and Tutu Atwell to fill out that depth chart. So wide receiver three could be in play. Again, a deep draft. I actually, in one of my mock drafts this offseason, gave him Javon Baker. I think that would be a great fit there in the third round as well. Tight end. Again, you can always upgrade Tyler Higbee. They haven't found the right fit, but round three is that perfect spot if they take a shot on an athletic tight end like Cade Stover. Maybe it's a Theo Johnson type. But again, I think it provides you some optionality to groom that player. Tyler Higbee is already over 30 years old. But again, round three, round four, round five, Jaheim Bell would be a fun piece within this offense, considering his after the catch ability and ability to move all over the formation and even play a little running back. You know, maybe be your running back three in a pinch if you have some injuries or in game. Kind of a Kyle Juszczyk, can use him all over the place. I think Jaheim Bell has more talent than Kyle Juszczyk. But again, that would be the playmaker type mid-round addition here for the Rams. The overall dynasty takeaways, I would say, is first of all, question the ceiling for Matthew Stafford. He's a non-running quarterback. And so success for him looks a little different than these other more mobile quarterbacks. You know, something inside the top 15 to 18 fantasy-wise would be considered a success. So he's more of a placeholder. Again, good NFL quarterback, no doubt. for fantasy is not going to really move the needle, even as your QB too. And I would say Kieran Williams, there might be a discount opportunity if they draft the running back in round three. That's going to scare, I think, a lot of Kieran Williams owners. But that fall, I don't think is going to be, isn't going to be as warranted in terms of his valuation. So wherever you have him now, it'll bump him back. But I think it's going to be more of a running back two squeeze for Ronnie Rivers, who you got to hold him for now. And then Cooper Kupp is the main play there of a bounce back. If he's healthy, you know, we saw him draw back last year, Puka Nacua, but there is room, especially with the tight end being a pretty tepid spot here. There's room for Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua to both produce well within this offense. Like we've seen, these big tandems have 50%+ of the market share of a passing game. That is the likely outcome here for the Rams with a healthy Cooper Kupp in 2024. The Steelers also in the mid first round here, 20 overall, and wide receiver, the glaring spot. Deontay Johnson is gone. It's George Pickens and not much else. They've churned through, cycled through a lot of these day two wide receiver hits over the recent years, but now it's Calvin Austin probably as one of those big in-house incumbents if they are going to step up from that regard. So a lot of the projections are round one and heck, maybe two picks in the top 100. They have four selections in that range of going with wide receiver. You could also say, hey, at quarterback, they brought in Justin Fields with a low-level investment. They have Russell Wilson on a one-year prove it, or you know, can he get a Baker Mayfield deal beyond this year if he plays well? But again, quarterback, you look out into 2025 and say they have no commitments, they have no strings attached. Running back, you would say, as well as tight end with Pat Freiermuth, you also have the tandem of Najee Harris still on his rookie contract and Jaylen Warren, who they like. Those two positions unlikely to be addressed. So it's really wide receiver. And one of my concerns here is that 20 overall, you look at the AD Mitchells of the world, you look at Brian Thomas, these are suboptimal profiles. And for the Steelers' sake, I almost hope, you know, or any team in this range, that guys like that are gone. Because once you get past Romo Odunze, the big three, then you get into Brian Thomas, suboptimal when you look at his production profile. A.D. Mitchell, suboptimal with his production profile. The later first round, we're probably not going to see at 20 overall someone like Ladd McConkey or Keon Coleman. But the names that are more insulated when you look at production and some of these check marks, it is Xavier Worthy and Troy Franklin. And again, Xavier Worthy, I think with his speed, would blend well with a lot of these teams in the mid first round. And it's hard for me to see Xavier Worthy get all the way to, you know, Buffalo late in the first round or the Chiefs late in the first round. So for the Steelers, again, I think a couple different things fit. With them bringing Justin Fields, I think quarterback in the first couple of rounds is a little less likely. But I also think that wide receiver, we could be looking at a couple picks here. When you look at this, you know, round one, they could find their guy, but 51 overall is a really good spot to say, hey, if anyone slides in this range, that range could include Xavier Leggett. We saw them take a shot on Chase Claypool of, you know, a big rangy athletic player that didn't quite have the production in college, provided some big moments, but ultimately ended up flaming out for the Steelers. Fortunately, they got out and actually got some return on their investment there. Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, as well as Malachi Corley, maybe even Devontae Walker. Those are potential wide receivers in the 51 range. A drove are going to go in the first couple of rounds in this draft. So I would say of those early four picks, I would not be surprised if two of them are wide receiver, as this is a team that outside of George Pickens has some glaring needs at the position. And I would say, again, tight end, they drafted Darnell Washington, who's simmering. He reminds me of a Martellus Bennett type, where you saw Martellus Bennett miring behind Jason Witten for years in Dallas. It took him the whole rookie contract to end up going somewhere else and being a multi-year starter and a fantasy starter later on in his career. And I think for Darnell Washington, that could be the pathway that we see with Pat Freiermuth outside of a major string of injuries. Because Washington probably going to play the tight end 1B or second fiddle to Freiermuth on that depth chart. So again, Steelers should be highly active, especially at wide receiver. And they're a wild card team, as I mentioned with the Rams. Also in this episode, that mid-first round, if they like a quarterback, we could see quarterback 5 or quarterback 6 come off in the range, you know, the 4.5 line there for first round wide receivers. We see Bo Nix, we see Michael Penix, both right on that 32.5 over under. And it's going to, you know, come down to one of these teams having a high enough grade on those quarterbacks to say, yes, developmental for the future, even though most of these teams in the back half going to the playoffs, addressing quarterback and having a good enough situation on their respective depth charts.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.